everybody. Welcome to Monday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside, as always, we'll take you to three, hand it off to our good friend Phil Venati, who is in San Francisco. He'll be radio row throughout the week leading up to the Super Bowl as the 49ers look for their – oh, wait a minute. No, they don't. I'll keep trying, ladies and gentlemen. But all kidding aside, or crying aside, Phil is there in the Bay Area, and he'll be with you all week from San Francisco. The teams, of course, are adjacent to Santa Clara. The Patriots, I think, are at Stanford, and I believe the Seahawks are at San Jose in those facilities. And Phil is in downtown San Francisco with the rest of the media row, the radio row people, so he'll have shows for you all week long from there, and then we'll lead up to the Super Bowl, and we do have the radio coverage of the Super Bowl from Westwood One. I'll tell you all about the schedule for today and the rest of the week, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, a little bit later on. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisieng.net. When we go over the schedules for both 1430 and 790, I'll tell you about the great fundraising Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. Paul, with me as always on a Monday, we'll discuss the Fresno State win at Air Force and talk about the UNLV game coming up tomorrow. We'll get to Paul in just a couple minutes, and also to friends Robert in town and Vince as well. I'll address your emails, Vince, in particular, what you brought up about Paul George. I do want to address right away, because Paul, of course, has been suspended for 25 games, but it's more complicated than just a simple suspension. So I want to get to that, and we were going to talk about Paul George last week. He didn't get a chance, so we'll do that with Paul in just a couple of minutes. But first, as always, the other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Terrific local people. Lee's has been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. As far as forecast goes, I keep saying that we get to February and it's like spring arrived. And now the fog was bad last night, very bad. There was a dense fog advisory till noon today, and the fog will continue during the week. But temperatures in the afternoon hours are going to be close to 70, 62 today, 63 tomorrow, with the lows around 42 or so, and that's why you have that fog issue. Then we go mid-60s by Wednesday, and then 68, 69, 69, 68 again on Sunday. So the 7-day is on the cusp of 70 in certain parts of the valley. May break 70. So, yes, we are still in winter, and yes, we need more rain, but right now it's starting to look like spring a little bit in town, which is great for creature comfort, not so great if you're looking at agriculture or the necessity for water around the home in, say, March or April. And one more time, it was great to get off to a strong start in the rain season, but we had nothing. And I mean nothing. It was dry January, a different connotation, a literal connotation of dry January took place in this town. The bad kind of dry January, we didn't get any rain. So we'll see what happens. But as far as being outdoors, get to the afternoon, and it's very pleasant. So for all the bat and ball sports, and by the way, I want to remind people again, softball team opens up at home this Friday, the baseball team the following Friday, and of course, all the K through 12s are all very busy already with their spring sports. That's why we live here and why we don't live in the rest of the country. I bring this up because some of the network shows today, they have correspondents already at the Super Bowl, and of course they have their studio shows back in New York, and almost every one of them, all the correspondents saying, I don't want to rub it in, but it's 70 degrees in Santa Clara today, which means you really want to rub it in. That's why you bring it up to the rest of your people that are back east. So listen, bless you back in the east, and I hope everybody who's under the tremendous burden of the freezing weather and everything else, I hope you guys are okay. But one more time, the Ronald Reagan line, if the pilgrims would have landed on the West Coast, the East Coast would still be undeveloped territory. That's all I'm telling you. All right, as far as Lee's, anything you need from Lee's, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-Lee's, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. And as we mention every day, They sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's 559-320-1430. That's how we'll bring Paul up in just a moment, and how Phil will not only bring up his guests, but also callers from the general public. So mark that down, the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. All right, one final reminder comes from our friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They have a bunch of great deals going on right now with the Big Bowl, the Super Bowl coming up. On Sunday, they have their great $5 bowls on sale right now. Classic or spicy. We're talking the creamy mashed potatoes, the sweet corn, the melty cheese, the crispy nuggets, all there stacked in one bowl. So you can go with the classic. If you want to bring the heat a little bit, bring the spicy to the forefront. Also, they have the $5 Maddie's Cheesy Nuggy Bowl. That's terrific with crispy nuggets, rich gravy, and plenty of cheese. And as always, everything at the local KFCs is finger-licking good. And we thank them for all their support of athletics throughout the Valley on every level. And also remind you, other great deals are there, including the Tuesday $10 8-piece or 8 tenders offer. Been there a long time. You have a country fried steak deal on Wednesdays. You have their pot pies front and center. And you also, as we mentioned earlier, have for the limited time the great Zinger chicken sandwich. So there's so many great things at KFC right now. Stop on in the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. So thanks to those local operators. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, and thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And right now, to answer Vincent's question about Paul George and to talk about Fresno State basketball, it is the voice of your Bulldogs, Paul Leffler. Paul, how you doing?
Tony, I was, you know, kind of listening to all that. Were you talking about me when you said rich gravy and plenty of cheese? Was that a reference to our broadcast?
No, no, that is not a reference to you at all, Paul. But rich gravy is probably applicable. You are rich in your knowledge of things. And where the gravy fits in, that's anybody's guess. But thanks for asking. Okay, a couple of things here up front. And by the way, to Gino in South Valley, you brought up, we were talking about Catherine O'Hara passing away very tragically and suddenly last week, such a great comedic performer, and anybody ever saw Beetlejuice or Home Alone or the commercials, or in particular SCTV, you know, you brought up Mother Teresa. I had forgotten, Gino, when she did Mother Teresa, that she actually would say to people, did you ever want to just go up to the people and say, can you get your act together, which is one of the great pieces of irony that I've ever heard. That's right. Mother Teresa is going to go up to the underprivileged and berate them for being so burdensome. That is what made her so completely hysterically funny, and SCTV such a great show. And it's too bad that she so tragically passed away at age 71. Vince, Paul emailed in about Paul George, and I want to bring this up. First of all, Vince said, our Mount Rushmore, has it become the new Madden's cover or SI cover jinx because our guys keep getting hurt? He's talking about Derek, of course, hurt, retired. We have already seen Aaron fight through a ton of injuries with the Yankees. We know that Devontae had the adductor and oblique problems before the playoffs, and certainly Paul George has fought through a ton of injuries. I don't think that that's the real problem, Vince, but I will say this. Our Mount Rushmore has been kind of star-crossed, and now with Paul finally healthy, getting a 25-game suspension, I wanted to address this, Paul, with you, because this has been reported, and Paul, as he always has been stand-up about this, because a lot of guys, when they get suspended for some sort of substance use, they deny it. Paul did not. He said he was taking something for anxiety that he should not have taken. He should have gotten it cleared. 100%, he said it's on him. It wasn't any performance-enhancing drug whatsoever. And, of course, it's going to cost him not only 25 games and hurt the Sixers, but it cost him roughly $12 million of salary. But the biggest thing I wanted to talk to you about, Paul, and you were around Paul George, of course, when he was here at Fresno State, due credit goes out to Kevin Love and those handful of players that have had the intestinal fortitude to address the mental health issues in the NBA. And the same applies to a lot of professional athletes. Even they make a lot of money, there's a lot of anxiety. Paul, however, was a guy who brought this up, if you remember, during the bubble in 2020, back in Orlando talking about the separation anxiety from his family, from his not only his parents, but also from his wife and his kids. And he was ridiculed a little bit about this. And people kind of acted like, you know, grow up, put your big boy pants on. Paul, 6 years later, a lot of people have jumped in line, and Paul didn't really get the credit for being one of the first guys to bring this up, because it was at a cost, because people do start to take shots at you. And now he's man enough to admit that because of anxiety, he made a mistake here and didn't offer any excuse. And I think he deserves a lot of credit, Paul, for being a guy who was willing to take those slings and arrows and not make excuses about it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think the key question for all of us to ask is, what would we do, right? If you were in his shoes, how would you handle it? And, you know, I suppose there are certain situations where, you know, maybe there's a compelling reason not to be completely forthright if there's someone else's reputation at stake, or,
right,
you know, you can't share everything because there are other considerations. But, you know, in a vacuum, honesty is always the best policy. Coming clean and telling the real story and having a humble and contrite heart. You know, I mean, there are stories throughout history, whether, you know, you're reading in scripture or just life experience. I mean, think about the people in your life or in your, you know, public consciousness who have had some kind of misstep or some kind of fall from grace. How did they handle it? When people handle it with pride and defensiveness, you kind of lose respect for them. When they handle it with humility and ownership, a lot of times you gain respect for them. And certainly the greatest concern is, you know, what Paul shared vulnerably, his mental health. You know, that's a very high-pressure sport, very unforgiving. The more well-known you are, the more demanding it is. Why do you think you see so many celebrities hiding? Like, it is a life that so many of us will never understand. And, you know, very few people are as recognizable. When you're that tall, it adds to it. You know, it's even easier. It's even harder to blend in with the crowd. So when you have people watching you every second of every day, when you have people with high expectations of you, when you have that much money on the line, and, oh, by the way, you're also trying to do right by your family and, you know, give back. And Paul's done a great job of giving back to his alma mater and so many other folks. That's a lot of pressure. And, you know, when you have influences here and influences there, it can take you in a lot of different directions. And so the biggest concern is just that he and his family are okay. And, you know, everybody listening right now, Tony, every single person, and you know this, I'm preaching to the choir, we're all going to face adversity in life, right? It's unavoidable. And do we fixate and focus on the circumstances and the things that we'd like to change, or do we have another area where we can turn our focus? And I know, you know, Paul is someone for whom faith has been a part of his story since he was a very young man. And, you know, I know in my own life, when there are circumstances that I'm not happy with and that I wish I could change, and I know I'm powerless to change, it brings me to my knees and has me calling out to God to help me. And, you know, I know Paul not only has that, which is the ultimate help, but he has a lot of people in his life who are there for him. And I'm believing that God's going to use this, as old Jim Sweeney would say, temporary setback to build deeper strength, deeper reliance, and deeper character. So I think Paul's going to make Fresno State proud for many years to come. And, yes, I agree with you. His ownership and accountability, while the situation is disappointing and concerning, especially for him, it is refreshing to see somebody say, you know what, I'm not falsely accused. Here's what happened. And maybe it gives some other players the courage to get the help they might be, you know, too hesitant or reluctant to reach out for otherwise.
Well, you're right about that. And on the court, it's unfortunate timing because Embiid is back now for the first time in a while playing extensive minutes of more than he had in the past and has been very productive. And because the East is wide open, again, back to who is going to get the first title in our Mount Rushmore derby, if you will, Paul and the Sixers win fully put together because of Maxey and Edgecombe in the backcourt right now. They have a legitimate chance to get out of the East. Now, whether they can beat somebody in the West, particularly OKC, who seems to have woken up from their mini slumber, is an issue that will have to be determined. But what's unfortunate is Paul is going to be out for 25 games. It happens to coincide, by the way, with Paul being back home. The Sixers are in L.A. tonight to play the Clippers, and tomorrow they're in the Bay Area to play the Warriors. And I know that Paul really loves coming home to play, and unfortunately he's going to have to sit. Now, the good news may be, as we've seen with guys in the past, that you end up sitting this time of the year, which is the dog days right before the All-Star break. It means he could be fresh and ready to go for the stretch run as we get toward the end of March into April, and then the real season starts. The problem for the Sixers is what this may do for their seeding. We'll see. That is secondary. I just wanted to commend Paul for, as you referenced, how he handled things. By the way, one other thing. Our buddy Robert in town had brought up Draymond Green. Robert, I'm not going to get into Draymond except to say he's worn out his welcome with the Warriors in a lot of different ways, and they're trying to move him in their desperate attempt to get Giannis before the trade deadline on Thursday. And keep in mind, the Bucks do not have to deal Giannis. They can do it in the offseason. He's not going to stay in Milwaukee, but they don't need to do it now, particularly since he's hurt. Giannis is right now. But the Warriors probably, as much as they want to ship Green away, would have to ship Butler away, and that's going to be a tough deal. We'll see how it plays out. That trading deadline is Thursday, so a lot could happen between now and then, or nothing may happen. But Draymond, am I going to get to the number of things he's done to irritate the Warriors front office? They put up with his excesses because he was productive. Now he's not nearly as productive, although ironically he's shooting the three better, but not doing anything else. Maybe his defense is still close to as good, but his playmaking, his decision-making, a lot of other things have not been exactly what the Warriors would like right now. So I think they want to get out from under him. We'll see. All right, Paul, to basketball at Fresno State. We had talked last week. There are two teams that the Bulldogs have to beat, not because they're must wins, but rather because they're must not lose games. Those are games that they don't do you a lot of good if you win them, but they kill you if you lose them. The two against Air Force, the one at home against San Jose, now the other one against Air Force now is at home. Those are games they can't lose. They did not lose at Colorado Springs in the first of those three, but Paul, for a half, it was a struggle. What did you take out of that second half that's a positive for Fresno State?
Well, you know, if you look at the season as a whole, and Coach Wahlberg would be the first to tell you, there have been some missed opportunities. I mean, this team is 10-11, but not too far away from being 14-7 or 15-6. I mean, there are that many winnable games that weren't won. And in some cases, you can make the case that, you know, that the necessary adjustments either didn't come or didn't come in time. So I think the encouraging thing, or a few encouraging things about Saturday. I mean, that's the first win for Coach Wahlberg in an altitude game in the Mountain West. We've had a few firsts this year, right? His first road win in conference play in his 2 years came earlier this year in San Jose. First winning streak with those back-to-back home games against Colorado State and Wyoming. And some people may say, well, you're giving a pretty low bar there. But, you know, you have to do something once in order to do it twice. So to get those firsts out of the way is big. And, you know, they hadn't won an altitude game in the conference. So to do that at 7,000 feet in a place where last year they had to play shorthanded with six players and lost in overtime, to have Air Force, you know, play over its head in the first half, make a lot of shots, get some passes through that I think defensively, you know, shouldn't be getting through, but then to get them focused at halftime, to come out with a better plan defensively and execute and switch the matchups to take advantage, I thought that was really impressive. And clearly, you know, a healthier DJ Douglas makes a big difference. The guy's a weapon from anywhere on the floor. He's got a quick release, doesn't have a hard time getting his shot off. You know, Heidbreeder may, you know, in a vacuum with no defense, Heidbreeder may outshoot him. It would be close. But Jake can't get his shot off in some of the situations where DJ can. So, you know, both of those guys being out there makes each other better. And, you know, DJ said after the game he's maybe 85-90%, so he's still rounding into form. You can do the hypothetical game and say, hey, if he were healthy earlier this year, would some of those losses in close games be wins? Maybe. But they are where they are. And, you know, the other thing was Zaion Collins didn't start for disciplinary reasons, but he responded really well and played one of his best games, the most efficient games off the bench. I mean, 20 minutes, he had 14 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, made a lot of good decisions. And, you know, I think that's he's clearly going to be a critical factor in whatever this team does the rest of the way. He's just that important of a piece. And, you know, they didn't have DJ Stickman for this game. He's still out with a concussion. Hopefully he's able to come back this week. Another big question mark for tomorrow night is, you know, will Tyron Jones play for UNLV? People don't know who Tyron Jones is. He's probably the best NBA prospect in the entire Mountain West. He's 6'9", with incredible handles, phenomenal leaping ability. He's a pro, period. He just happens to be a freshman and sometimes doesn't know how good he is yet. So if he's playing tomorrow, that's a game changer. If he isn't, that's a game changer. And can the Red Wave make a difference? It's student night, and if you have some Fresno State students listening, maybe they hadn't heard that yet, but there are special giveaways for students. Of course, their tickets are already free as a Fresno State student. If there are a bunch of students in there, that can change the atmosphere. Last two home games have been the best crowds in a, you know, in a couple years. So hopefully we see that kind of environment. I know it's an 8 o'clock tip on a Tuesday night, kind of tough for the young families, but maybe the college students can make up for that and create some real energy in the building. Because when you look at it, this is a game that talent-wise, you know, and let's just be honest, this is not saying anything negative about where Fresno State is. But in terms of just length and athleticism and experience, UNLV, and, you know, it's reflected in the payments. UNLV, I think, spent about 3 times as much on this team as Fresno State did. And you can see, right? So there's a talent discrepancy that favors UNLV. But Bulldogs know they almost beat the Rebels in Vegas. So it's a game that maybe the experts don't expect them to win tomorrow night, but if they play well as a team, take care of the basketball, get some help from the home crowd, and do find a way to win, that may change eventually where they're seated in the conference tournament. And it may embolden them to go win in Reno on Saturday, right? Which has been, over the last decade or so, one of the toughest places to win for anybody. So I think all that to say, tomorrow night may be the most pivotal game in the rest of the season, because it's a game that matchup-wise, UNLV has, you know, on paper an upper hand, but Fresno State has a chance to win that game. And what would that translate to? So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun matchup. It was entertaining the first time. And, you know, the Bulldogs are feeling a little momentum. They're gaining confidence. They're playing better as a team. They're moving the ball well. And I think what you have to hope for if you're a Bulldog fan is for these guys to get to know each other even better, play better as a team, you know, and keep building that chemistry in that field and have individuals continue to take steps forward in terms of consistency. So the development of Douglas has been a huge piece of it. Deshaun Gorey will be looking to bounce back in the scoring department, but he did a great job rebounding at Air Force. Air Force had a concerted effort to go after him on the defensive end of the floor and kind of take him out of the game plan. And for a while it worked, but he made his contributions. And you look at an individual level. If each one of those guys can keep getting a little better, a little better, a little better, they may have a chance to win a game or two in Vegas in March. And that would be a step in the right direction. And one guy I'd like to see, you know, this is just me. I felt the other day at Air Force, Jack Manning, when he was in, had some real matchup advantages. And when he got the ball, he took advantage of that. I think there are going to be some other games like that where maybe there's a game where his matchup doesn't favor him and you don't want to play him that many minutes. But he is so skilled offensively. You won't find very many big men his size that have that good of a feel, that good of a shot, that good of footwork. He can score at all levels, really crafty. And I think, you know, that's something that for this team to reach its full potential, we need to see another one of those games at some point that builds his confidence and know, you know, so the coaching staff knows, hey, that's a button we can press. That's a weapon we can go to when we have the right matchup that may tilt the scales and make the difference in a game that otherwise you might lose.
Paul, that game, of course, was the first game in conference play, and we talked about it afterward. Bulldogs were down 16 early, came all the way back in a big hurry, and even though they lost by double digits, they actually had the lead. Fresno State was still ahead at the 8-minute mark, but what we saw late was kind of what you referenced. If you just put them out there in a pickup game, there was a lot more athleticism on the UNLV side, and finally at the end it became a lot of throwing it up on the board and going and getting it kind of routine, and the Bulldogs couldn't hold them off. As you look at that team, that Fresno State team, starting conference to the one now, is there anything markedly different in the style of play of Fresno State that leads you to believe, other than the obvious being at home, that could lead to a win? And by the way, a game that we've talked about, if you want to line up, and we were talking about the final 11, Jackson and I were, you have, you know, games now, two at home, you figure to win for sure, Air Force and San Jose State. I'm saying figure to win. You have two on the road, you figure to lose at Logan and at Phoenix against Grand Canyon, but the rest of them, Paul, kind of fall in that could be either direction, whether it's home or road. This one is in that category. What could you see tomorrow that would be different than what you saw in Vegas with the same guys on the court?
Well, taking care of the basketball, right? I mean, that's a big one. Limiting turnovers. This team has shown signs of really good basketball IQ at times and moved the ball well. You know, Wilson Jack, I just keep going back to my favorite part of his game now. You know, he's rebounding consistently. People seize on, you know, his frustrating moments around the basket, and he'd be the first to tell you, you know, he needs to get a lot better around the bucket. But the way he sees the floor and his creativity and vision and decision-making as a passer is something very few college big men have. He's just a freshman. You're going to need a good game from him in this matchup. You're going to need to play good defense. And I think another thing, you know, UNLV is a streaky team. So do the Rebels hit some threes early? Does Gibbs Longhorn get hot and help them build a big lead? Or is this a game where Fresno State actually gets off to a really good start shooting the ball and can carry that momentum and then focus on playing really good defense and taking care of the ball? I think the Dogs are a different team when you get a few threes early, whether it's Heidbreeder or Douglas, Cam Foss, who's coming off the bench now, Jack Manny getting a chance out there. There are some guys that can really shoot, and when they're on early, it's a whole different story. You know, it's kind of like having a four-run first inning or something. It just puts you in a different spot. And, oh, yeah, by the way, baseball does open a week from Friday.
That's a nice segue. Well, you know, you bring up Jack. He actually was the leading scorer of the game for Fresno State in Vegas. Remember, the Bulldogs had really nice distribution. They had four guys in double figures. And sometimes you have guys with 10 or 11 points. But Jack had 18. Heidbreeder had 17. Collins had 15. Douglas had 12. Paul, the team itself only scored 72, which is not great, but it's not that bad. Gave up 84, most of it late, of course, that got stretched beyond just single digits. But they played well enough. It just seemed like they eventually got worn down, and maybe home court is enough to push them through. Maybe Douglas being at a little bit better health is there. If you can win this game, and it's a big if, and I know that most people feel that UNLV will win the game, I think Fresno State has a shot. Does it start with that road trip, like you mentioned, to Reno coming up, and then to Logan? Does it maybe start something, or do you say, hey, you know what, it's just one you check on the list of one of the tweener games that you won, and that's what you're going to have to do, even if you don't get another one on the road? Just curious about that.
Well, I think, you know, you got to take one game at a time, and this would be a next step, right? So the Dogs, they've won four games in conference. Maybe you could say the Colorado State game was one people didn't expect them to win. Of course, the Rams were missing Jorgensen, which is a big piece for them. But they haven't won a game yet in conference that they weren't supposed to win. They haven't won a game yet in conference against a team whose NIL budget dwarfs theirs by multiple factors. And who has, you know, more NBA prospects on the team. That hasn't happened yet. this is an opportunity to do that. And it's a team with a name, right? And it's a rivalry that brings back so much nostalgia for so many Bulldog fans. So to have the Running Rebels in town, you know, just by virtue of that name, you're going to have some people at the game who maybe haven't seen you play yet this year. So, I mean, there's a lot of upside on this opportunity in front of the team tomorrow. And I do think if they find a way to win that game, the confidence that it builds, you know, that would be a two-game win streak rolling into Reno against a team they had a chance to beat, right? We're one stop away from beating at Save Mart Center. So absolutely, if you can get it done tomorrow night, then you got to go into Reno believing you can back that up. And then all of a sudden, if you get that done, you're turning some heads around the conference. So they're great opportunities for this team to keep taking strides, keep taking steps forward. And ultimately, all eyes are on the Thomas and Mack in March. You know, if you can stay healthy, get those freshmen more minutes, get them more game comfortable, which ultimately limits the turnovers, which has been this team's biggest bugaboo this year. Those are the things that you're coaching for and playing for and believing for. And simultaneously, you know, none of these teams in the conference are static. They're either progressing or regressing. So, you know, the team that you play in Las Vegas could be a team that's on the downswing and you're on the upswing, and that can make the difference. So you just have to, you know, you can't get lost in all those what ifs and shoulda, coulda, wouldas. Keep your eyes on the prize. And tomorrow night, they know they're in for a real challenging matchup against a very experienced and athletic Rebel team. But let's see what they can do, and let's see how much of a difference the Red Wave can make.
Well, you know, they more than held their own rebounding-wise. It was just a one rebound difference. They actually outboarded the Rebels 31-30. The trouble was late. There were some second-chance opportunities that got away down the stretch. And, you know, it was a game, like I said, you get down double digits the way they did early. You make the mad rush, which gives you plenty of time to fall back, which always happens when you have to make a big run, to fall back and recover. And, again, they had the lead at the eight-minute timeout and just couldn't hang on late. I do want to ask you about Collins, and I know I don't want to batter this into submission on the air, but I have been frustrated by Zion, and I'm not talking about what happened prior to Fresno State. We've gone over that enough. My attitude has been, because Fresno State, and I'm talking about institutionally, not just a coach, not just the university president, but the entirety of the hierarchy at Fresno State agreed to take a chance on a young man. And he has not been a bad citizen since he's been here, but he has had his moments where maturation has been an issue. And I'm just wondering, Paul, is this something that's just going to be a work in progress with Zion, who is not, in relation to a lot of his teammates, that young a guy? As far as the calendar is concerned, he's a little bit older. Is this just something that he is going to have to learn to check the emotions a little bit, the things that happen off the court that are not certainly egregious the way the one issue was, but are disruptive? Where are you at with Collins? Because he's a guy that I think ought to be really thankful that he has this opportunity, and sometimes his behavior doesn't particularly manifest that, in my opinion. Where are you at with this thing?
Well, Tony, I think Zion's a real talented player, right? When he's at his best, he's really good at creating, at seeing the floor. I thought one of the encouraging signs on Saturday was that, you know, he was a little more aggressive offensively, looking for his own shot. I think that's been part of the story for him his whole time here, is if he were consistently aggressive and attacking, it would free up even more in the passing lane. So he's one of the best distributors in the conference without question. At times he plays some real good defense. He's really crafty, baits players into thinking they're safe and picks their pocket or gets steals in the passing lanes. The skill set's there. You know, I think if he were a couple inches taller and 15 pounds heavier, he'd have a lot of suitors around the country. So what, you know, where his advantage is going to be quickness and the mental game. You know, and recognizing when he needs to attack, when he needs to distribute, how he can always maintain a threat, even if his intent is not to score. So those are some feel things that, you know, when he's on, he's as good as anybody in the league at that position. So you're just looking at consistency. And consistency is physical, it's psychological, it's emotional. And I think we've seen progress with Zion. And I think he's a misunderstood young man sometimes, right? People see body language and interpret it sometimes. You know, obviously he's a really smart young man. You talk to him, you can hear some of that. He's got a real good basketball IQ. And we all need to keep our emotions in check. And I think the big thing for him is he has teammates who care about him, teammates who trust him. I think my favorite moment of the game at Air Force Saturday was when Wilson Jack, you know, dumped down a no-look bounce pass to Zion on the right block. And he gave a little up fake, waited for two guys to fly by and laid it in. And seeing the smile on Zion's face afterwards and knowing that Wilson kind of created that role reversal and was doing the dishes to the point guard for a change. I thought the facial expressions and the body language in that moment said a lot about the rapport that those two young men have built and that this entire team has built. And again, the way he responded to coming off the bench for the first time all year. Yeah, he's missed a couple games when he was hurt, but he hadn't come off the bench. And he didn't sulk. He didn't throw tantrums. He went out there and he played probably the most efficient 20 minutes of anybody on the floor. So hopefully that's a sign of good things to come. And, you know, being from Las Vegas, having at one point committed to UNLV, tomorrow night's a big game for him too. So let's see how he comes out of the gate, you know, how he takes care of the ball, what kind of defense he can play. And sure, like anybody else, players, coaches, fans, broadcasters, it's incumbent on all of us to be responsible for our own emotions. And, you know, he does have people who care about him, and we'll try to help him stay in check in that. But we all need that, right? So, yeah, I was really happy for him on Saturday with how he played. And it looked like his burden was a little lighter. So let's see how he and the team perform tomorrow night. Hopefully we've got a lot of folks out there to watch it.
Well, it was nice to see the crowd the last time in, because I mentioned that crowd would have been good enough to fill the original Celland Arena. And it's been a while since we've even seen that number, which is around 6,000. And we've talked over and over again on the court. Zion is one of those guys. You want the ball in his hands late, whether he's going to take the shot himself or set somebody up. He is still the key to your offense. There's just been some things on the periphery that I'm very hopeful are in the rear view in a big hurry with him, because I think at his core he is a good person, and it's just sometimes things seem to get the best of him. And again, I'm not referring to the very tragic situation prior to coming here. I'm talking about since he's been here, there have been a lot of little things that I hope will be resolved and won't get in his way or the team's way. Paul, one last thing I wanted to ask you about, though. We've had so many conversations about NIL and whether we're going to see a tiered situation where you're going to have to play in an association set up with schools that have the same point of view about minimum and maximum payouts and what have you, whether we're going to get to that point or not, or however it's going to work in the 2030s. We're going to have a seismic change. I know that. But I want to ask you about the service academies in particular, because seeing Air Force and knowing, as you and I have talked over and over again, these are the real student athletes. These guys have their day. They don't have to worry about, you know, filling time in their day. Their day, and the ladies as well, because Air Force came in and won against Fresno State on the women's side on Saturday. And Perry's a terrific player, by the way, for Air Force on the women's side. But their day is scoped out from 5 o'clock in the morning all the way until midnight, basically. It is a very tough road to hoe. That's why only the best and the brightest get through all of this. But, Paul, watching the tremendous disadvantage that they are at in the way things are structured with collegiate athletics, do you worry about the viability of the service academies at an FBS level in the long term? I'm just wondering.
Well, I think in football, yeah, the deck is still stacked against them, but they've found a way to remain competitive. Basketball, just the changes to the culture of college basketball have affected the service academies more than anybody. You know, you can't take transfers, you can't pay NIL. So how are you recruiting? And how are you keeping young men or women? Especially when, you know, the policies of the academy can't guarantee that you'll have a chance to pursue a professional career when you're done. That's what, you know, part of the reason Jake Heidbreder left after 2 years there. He saw an opportunity to get paid in the ACC and took it. And Paul Skeen, same thing, right? So
yep.
I think, but, you know, it's different, it's unique, but it's not all that different from what Fresno State and other schools in the, you know, outside the Power Four landscape are dealing with. And it sure would be a great time for some real principled leadership in college sports to show up and show some true leadership and show that, you know, the vast majority of college student athletes do not play at the Power Four schools. So to have some kind of care and regard and estimation for them, not to mention their fan bases, which is really the heart of college sports. And the same thing exists at the Power Four schools. But, you know, I think because that's where the power rests, the rest of the landscape kind of gets neglected and left out. And it would be great to see some leadership that really advocated for that and for, you know, I don't know if purity is the right word because we're so far from it now, but at least the original intent and stated mission of college athletics, because we're so far from that. We're lost at sea, we're adrift, and we need rescue. And, you know, I hope that doesn't sound too blunt, because I think the tendency around the country is, okay, this is what it looks like now. We've got to play the game and play it long and try to compete on these terms. But I just think, you know, at the end of that journey, it turns out to be a fool's errand, because, you know, it's just going to get harder and harder to compete and stay relevant unless someone steps in and says, look, what are we doing here? What is the purpose? What are the priorities? What's really good for student athletes? Is limitless transfers and this insane NIL landscape making things better for student athletes? And, you know, you can find anecdotal evidence to support it, but across the board, I don't know of anyone who thinks it's better for the bulk of college student athletes today than it was 10 years ago. And that's just a stark reality that the grown-ups in the room ultimately have to step up and try to intervene on. And I don't know who that's going to be. But if it doesn't happen, you know, it's a little scary to think about what Fresno State and all these other institutions may be dealing with in 10 or 20 years.
You're right. And I'll let you go with the same thing we've talked about on and off the air, and that is, as much as it is a relative few that it impacts, and that's why it's so inherently unfair, those relative few are the ones that tilt the scale in one way or the other. They are the difference makers on the field of play, and that's what makes it difficult, that for the vast majority of student athletes, they're untouched by this, except that the balance of power is impacted by that absolute upper echelon that is finding itself with untold sums of money being thrown at it in a way that it's very difficult to say no, in some cases irresponsible to say no, but it does just take the underpinnings out of college athletics. So maybe on the one side of the aisle, the Ted Cruzes of the world versus the Hakeem Jeffries or the Cory Bookers, maybe they can finally find something in common and drive the rest of Congress forward to do something about it. Right now, as we've talked, it's still a political hot potato for the vast majority who feel that the needs of other areas, particularly getting reelected, may be more important than doing what's right. We'll see. Paul, appreciate it. I know it's a late start because of FS1 tomorrow. Hope you guys have a great one. Tell Q I said hello, and we'll certainly talk baseball next week in addition to basketball. Take care, my friend.
You too, Tony. Always good to talk to you.
Okay. Our good friend, Paul Lepper, take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. Speaking of good friends, he is at Radio Row in San Francisco. Be there all week getting ready for the Super Bowl on our air on Sunday, of course. Tell you about the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. 252. If you want to still on the show, hand it off to Phil. He is on for an hour today from Radio Row in San Francisco. Then longer shows during the week. He'll be there all week leading up to the Super Bowl on our air on Sunday. Tell you all about the schedule in just a moment, but first I want to acknowledge our good friends at KFC, talking about the local operators in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, and Kerman. Talk about them all the time. They have terrific deals throughout the week, and in particular right now, I want to tell you about the $5 bowls, classic or spicy. They're there. They're creamy mashed potatoes, sweet corn, melty cheese, and crispy nugget bowls. Everything stacked into one. You can go classic, or you can go with the bold, spicy flavor. Either way, can't go wrong. And also keep in mind, you have the $5 Maddie's Cheese Nuggie Bowl. That's terrific as well. It has crispy nuggets, rich gravy, and plenty of cheese. No shortcuts, big flavor, big comfort, and just $5 only, however, for a limited time at the local KFCs. And also, they still have that terrific Zinger Chicken Sandwich on sale. They have got their Tuesday $10 eight-piece or eight tenders offer. They've got terrific deals on country fried steak, on their pot pies, a whole bunch of great stuff at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. If you stop in, tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout this great valley of ours. Now, as far as the schedule for 790 and 1430, it's brought to you by another good friend, Ed Dunkel, and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng or precisioneng if you prefer, .net. Find all the information there. Ed has done terrific fundraising for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus. So many of those grads go to work for Ed at Precision. And the goal is always to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years. Ed affords me the time every day to tell you about the schedule for both 1430 and 790. Tonight, one play-by-play event over on 790, 5 o'clock. The Sharks will drop the puck at 5:30, the pregame with Dan Rusinowski, et cetera. At 5 o'clock, they're in Chicago to play the Blackhawks. We mentioned this with Macklin Celebrini around. The Sharks are not only a good team, again, for the first time in a while, but a very entertaining team to watch and listen to. So check that out. The Lakers, with the Grammys done last night, finally get to return home after one last road game, this long eight-game road trip. They're in Brooklyn tomorrow to play the Nets, and then the Lakers are home to play Philly later in the week. I mentioned that Paul George suspended for the 25 games because of that anxiety medication he took that was not on the approved list. It's unfortunate timing-wise, not only for the Sixers and for Paul, who loses $12 million of salary, by the way, over the 25 games, but home to play the Clippers tonight. He's up in the Bay Area to play the Warriors tomorrow, and then back to play the Lakers at the, I want to call it Staples, at the Crypt, at Crypt.com on Thursday. So the Lakers back home on Thursday. We'll get to them again. Of course, they'll be on 790 tomorrow because we have the Pro Bowl festivities tomorrow. The ever-changing Pro Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. It's the 7-on-7 flag football event and skills competition tomorrow at 4:30. So Phil will be on at 3 o'clock from Radio Row, and then at 4:30 it'll be off to everything in Santa Clara as they get ready for the Super Bowl with the Pro Bowl event, if you will. The other reminders, Phil, normally 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. By the way, the January clearance going on at Fashion Furniture right now, tremendous deals on a ton of furniture. It's, of course, the best furniture you're going to find anywhere, nothing like it in all of California. And when Phil is there in person, the great conversation of his show, including, of course, the opportunity to call him on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Some good eats as well when Phil's in the building, that's for sure. And we thank Rod for all his great support of athletics throughout the Valley as well. Paul Meadows, two fine shows on our sister station, the Deuce 790. Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics, 6 to 7 on Wednesdays. And then the long-running show on 1430 on Saturday morning, Central Valley Sports Report. That's 10 a.m. to noon live from First String Sports. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1, at att.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcast there. So stay tuned for Phil. Sharks over on 790, Lakers later in the week, Super Bowl at the end of the week, and Phil will have great shows from Radio Row throughout the week from San Francisco. The game, of course, at Levi's in Santa Clara, kicking off just after 3:30 on our air on Sunday. Thanks again to Jorge. Thanks to Paul. I'll talk to Jackson tomorrow, Fresno State at 8 o'clock tomorrow, FS1 on the TV side, UNLV in at SMC. I hope you're out there. I'll talk to Jackson about it tomorrow. And thanks, as always, to Jorge and to Paul and to the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, for their great support, and Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. See you guys tomorrow. Phil is coming up on KFIG Fresno.